Welcome to the Life Church STL podcast. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope this message encourages and inspires you. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
Philippians 4, 12 through 13, it says, this is the Message Bible, by the way. It says, I've learned by now to be quite content, whatever the my circumstances. I'm just as happy with as little as with much. With much as with little. I found the recipe for being happy, whether full or hungry, hands full or hands empty. Whatever I have, whatever I am, I can make it through anything in the one who makes me who I am. I can make it through anything in the one who makes me who I am. I love this scripture, and I believe that Paul is trying to teach us something here that is a constant issue, no matter if you're in his time or if you're in our time, that there's always this issue of whether we find him in every situation and every season that we're in. Not in just the good seasons, not in the seasons that we feel like he's prospering us, or that we really feel him pushing us through, or, oh God, I feel your presence right now. Oh yeah, it's gonna get whatever. No, but whether my hands are full or whether my hands are empty, I have everything I need. Because I find everything I need in the one that's created me. Not some creation, not some thing that's part of this world that we live in, but I find everything. I don't know about you, but this like gets me. And as we sing this song, I think about the words of this song are so powerful, and just looking at who God is. And I love, just like Matt said, he's just like, the words just start rolling out, and they have power to them, and they show you who God is. And it is like, oh, and I was down there, and I was like, I need to run to the altar and get saved again. It's like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm such a sinner, you know. But there's just power in it. But we can't take just these moments and see who God is and the power of who he is, or just when somebody's singing a song that we can join in worship in, but every single minute of our lives should be lived seeing who God is, being content, being satisfied with who God is, no matter what season we're in, whether we feel his presence pushing us into greater heights, or we feel that he's allowing us to go through some lows or some situation. The struggle is, do we see him in that situation? Do we lose sight of who we are and who he is? And I want to talk about Job for a second, and I think the book of Job deserves a sermon series, but I just want to talk about this one part of the story, but I'm going to tell you a little bit about it first, okay? So Job is this righteous man that he is a good, amazing, faithful, righteous guy. And God's like, hey, devil, did you consider this man? He's so righteous. Have you seen him, how righteous he is? And he's like, well, if you allow me to actually touch him, because you're so good to him, you protect him all the time. And so Job goes through this season where he's being attacked, and his family is dead, and he's got boils, and it's the pit of hell for him in this season, and he is just like writhing. He's got a couple of friends that come by, and I don't know about you, but I've had friends, all kinds of them, and some of them come by and they think they're doing good, but these are the same kind of guys. They think they're doing good, but all of a sudden they're saying the wrong things and making him feel the wrong way, making him forget that it was God who has created him and who is his sustainer and not himself. And And so we get to this point where this other young man, and he's a younger man. I love this part of the story, not just because he's young and I'm so young and good looking. But no, I'm just kidding. No, but like I think about how many times in the Bible God used these people that were young or that were the outcast or that were just the guy that nobody thought was the one that was going to do this great thing. But because it doesn't matter who they are. And all that matters is who he is. You know? Like, and these other older, wise, supposedly wise men that were sitting there with Job and leading him in the wrong way. And this guy, this young guy, Elihu, he comes. He's like, I've waited. Let you guys speak for a little bit because I'm younger. Just going to let you do your thing for a little bit. But I'm going to have to speak up and tell you something. And he proceeds to tell Job. He's like, who do you think you are? It's not you. It's not because you're so righteous or you're so good that everything's okay or everything's wrong. It's not because of you. It's because of God. And he's still God even whenever things happen to us. In Job 37, verse 14, he says, listen to this, O Job. Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God, which I don't know. I mean, Job, I can't imagine he was running around, the pain he must have been in. But I love, he just says, stand still and consider. It's like, the thing is, you're running around thinking too much about what you've done, about who you are, or what you can do for yourself, or how you've been so righteous, but just stand still and consider something for me. Consider the wondrous works of God. Do you know when God dispatches them? Do you know when he causes the light of his clouds to shine? Do you know how the clouds are balanced? Those wondrous works of him who is perfect in knowledge. See, Job had lost sight of God in this pain that he was in. He had lost sight of who God was because he couldn't reconcile this understanding in his mind that God was still good in my pain and in my situation. And he begins to be self-righteous and saying, but I was good. But I was righteous. What is this? And Elihu says this in the verses before that, in verse 2. It says, do you think it's right that you say, my righteousness is more than God's? For you say, what advantage will it be to you? What profit shall I have more than if I had sinned? He's like, you're saying that, like, well, I've been righteous, but what profit is it to me? More than if I had sinned. If I had sinned, I'd probably be in the same place. And Elihu's like, you self-righteous imbecile. It's like, it's not your righteousness that does anything for you. It's God's. And God doesn't change even if your situation does. He says, don't lose sight of who he is. You know, and God goes on to speak. The Lord goes on to speak to Job and say some of the same things that Elihu was. And I'm going to go ahead and read them. They don't have these scriptures up there either, but I decided that I wanted to read them. It says, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Whew. Hey, somebody tell me if you'd be able to stand there whenever God says something like that to you. It's like this guy coming here thinking that he knows everything, but trying to come here and tell me what's going on. He said, who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now prepare yourself like a man. He said, stand up and be a man, you little child, because I'm going to talk to you. He says, I will question you and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding, who determined its measure? Surely you know. Because you think you know everything else. Or that you are so good and so you should just be fine and be okay. And what about my righteousness? Who determined its measure? Surely you know, or stretched out the line upon it. To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone when the stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea doors when it burst forth and issued from the womb? When I made the clouds its garments and the thick darkness its swaddling band. When I fixed my limit for it and set bars and doors. When I said, this far you may come, but no farther. And here your proud waves must stop. Have you commanded the morning since your days began and caused the dawn to know its place? That it might take hold of the ends of the earth and the wicked be shaken out of it? He says, stand up and take it like a man because you're acting like you think you're a man. But where were you when I formed the earth? Who do you think you are that when a little trouble comes, you say, but I was so righteous. But I was so good. But Job lost his sight of who God was. And stopped hungering and thirsting just for God and not just to be good and just to live a good life. Not just to have all this cattle and be wealthy and have this big family, you know. That's the struggle. And I'm going to tell you, you see, even me, and you can pick your own situation or whatever's going on in your life. Maybe you think there's nothing like this that ever happens. But I know for me, it's like even in this season that we're in, Tori and I, we're in this season of growing and stretching and leading the church and doing all this stuff. And, you know, I think at some points I'm like, you know what? I think I'm getting the hang of this. I'm doing okay. I think I've got it. God's using me, and man, I'm getting stronger. And all of a sudden, I think I feel God is like, where is your strength? Where is the knowledge that you have? Is it in you or is it in me? Is the strength that you have, is it me or is it you? Is the victories that you have, is it you or is it me? Anything that you do, can you just tell me? And he stands up, tells me to stand up like a man, take it like a man. I'm going to ask you some questions. You better answer me. Where does your strength come from? I'll be like, you? Like, yeah, you better believe it. Do you know what I'm... You guys, you don't know what I'm talking about. Whether it's, you know, in your job or your family's doing good or, you know, oh, my kids, I've been doing a good job with my kids. They're doing... Oh, look how good they are. They're strong. They're healthy. They follow God. I've been doing good. God's like, stand up and take it like a man because I'm going to ask you a question. Why are your kids doing good? Is it because of you or is it because of me? Now you are there and you're helping your kids. You are teaching them. But who gives you the ability to teach your kids? Who gives you the strength to walk out the days of your life? I mean, I can say it about anything that we do. And the problem is that we go on day after day, and then all of a sudden we get to think like, yeah, I've been doing pretty good. When we should be thinking, God's been doing pretty good. Get me along. He's done a pretty good job. Because I wouldn't be where I am today if it wasn't for him. See, do you get what I'm saying? Man, it's just the slightest little things like that that can take us off course. Job didn't sin. He didn't sin, but he just lost sight of where his strength was and where his fortune was. that it was in God, not in the things that he had or the strength of his family. And that's what I say to you today, is that can we hunger and thirst for those things of God, to draw to him and say, God, you are everything that I need. Whether I have something in my hand, whether I don't have anything in my hand, it doesn't matter. Whether I live or whether I die, it doesn't matter, because everything that I need is in you. My treasure isn't here on earth, although I have treasure. My Tori is my kids, but our ultimate treasure is being with him. It's knowing him. We can know him just the slightest bit in these feeble, frail bodies that we have, this skin and bones. We can know him a little bit, and it's an amazing thing to be able to do that. But just think about whenever we can be with him in heaven. If we can grasp that, if we can, search for that and say, God, I will hunger and thirst for you and only you. No matter where I am, no matter what season, no matter what's going on in my life, I will thirst for you. So I want to talk about David. And in Psalm 63, he's in this time where in little description above this psalm, it says that, let me read it because I don't want to get it wrong. It says, a psalm of David when he was in the desert of Judah. And this is probably a time whenever, they talk about it in like 2 Samuel, where his son is after him. He's out in the desert in the wilderness, okay? He's out there. It's not like, hey, I'm sitting in my house drinking my Kool-Aid and eating my watermelon. It's hot outside, but I'm sitting in here. No, he's in the desert. He's out there hungry and thirsty, physically. But this psalm comes out of him. It says, oh God, you are my God. Early I will seek you. My soul thirsts for you. Not water, H2O. Not like, hey, just come bring a pool of water in front of me so I can get some water. I need it right now. I mean, he was thirsty, but he says, God, my soul thirsts for you. It doesn't matter how much my body is in pain because of this natural thirst. It doesn't matter compared to my thirst for who you are, God. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. Look, while I live. He's like, if I'm living today, I'll praise you. If I'm not tomorrow, I'll praise you, but just not here on earth. He's like, I understand one thing. And it's that everything that I need is not here on earth. So if I'm here, I'll be great. But if I'm there, I'll be better. So this thirst, this hunger that I have right now, it just doesn't matter compared to my hunger and thirst for you. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. My soul shall be set. Look, he's taught. Just think about this. Think about being out in a world, wilderness or a desert, and you're out there and you're like, food? Water? Where are you? And your body is like just shutting down because you haven't had that physical sustenance. And in that moment, this yearning and this appetite for who God is far outweighs anything that could possibly happen in this desert. And he says, I will be satisfied. I think about that. He's hungry. I will be satisfied as with the marrow in the fatness. Like he's thinking about, he's taking these earthly terms, you know, as if there's some amazing meal set before him. And it's like, they didn't just give me a salad. Y'all know what I mean. No salads is like, he's like, no, with marrow and fatness, I will be set. It, because of who you are. Because you are God and you have everything that I need, I will be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. He says, God, you're not a salad. You're just not like just a little bit of, you know, somebody threw me some peanuts on the ground, you know, so I could just have something. No. It's like, you're the steak. You're the full meal. You're everything that I need. I will be satisfied. I don't know if you guys have ever been to Ruth's Chris, but I got to go one time. And of course, you got to Ruth's Chris. You got to order the filet mignon, right? And so I had this steak. I don't know if you guys have. You should try it after you save up your money for a long time. Holy cow. And this filet mignon comes out, and it's like, wow, that looks like a good steak. Wow, that looks so good. And then you go and you cut it, and you're like, wait a second. Like, I don't even need a knife to cut this steak. It's so soft, and it's perfectly cooked, and it's everything. And you put it in your mouth, and you're like, oh. Everything that I have ever eaten before in my life was nothing. It was nothing. Because this is the most amazing thing that I've ever had. You know, I imagine that in this time that David, you know, I imagine him thinking of something like that. The marrow and the fatness. I will be satisfied. He's like, I don't need these French fries. I don't need this Happy Meal or this taco, you know? I don't need that. Because you, God, you're the filet mignon. If I just search after you and get what I need from you, all this other stuff is just fast food. It's nothing. Me even being hungry or thirsty is nothing. Because you're everything that I need. He says, I will seek you. He says, I've looked for you in the sanctuary. He's like, I'm gonna go after you. I'm gonna go wherever I can, seeking who you are, and I'm not gonna sit around just waiting for somebody to throw me something. It's like, I'm going to run to your sanctuary. I'm going to run to where everything that I need is. I'm going to run to you. See, you, God, you're the meal that satisfies. If I continually come to you, I can hunger, I can thirst, but it doesn't matter. Something can go on in my life, you know, that's hurtful, or something happened in my family, or whatever, but it doesn't matter because you're the one that satisfies. You're the one that I need, God. And I think about Job in that moment. Think about us in our life in any kind of moment where all of a sudden we start feeling like we're satisfied with something that's not God. Whether it's our righteousness, or hey, I'm doing pretty good, or maybe we're going to get the French fries of sin somewhere, you know, looking at something, you're talking, hanging around with the wrong people, you're doing whatever, and all of a sudden you're going through the drive-thru, you know, and those French fries, they taste good at first. You know what I'm talking about. Like when you've really been eating the good food and your body is used to the good food, and you go to the drive-thru and get that burger, and you're like, man, this is going to taste so good. These fries are going to taste so good. And they do for a second, you know? It tastes so good. And then all of a sudden, later on, maybe 30 minutes, maybe an hour, and all of a sudden you're like, whoa. Doesn't taste so good now. It's actually making my belly feel weird. And I feel a little sick to my stomach, you know, because it wasn't the real food. It was just some manufactured thing to look like it was going to sustain you, like sin is. Like self-righteousness is, like thinking that you have what you need is. It's like this thing that looks like it's food, but it's not. But Paul says, he's like, I'm satisfied in you. You're everything that I need. You're the steak. You're the steak and the potatoes, God. It's like I can take and come into your presence and get everything that my body needs. My body, it will be satisfied. You know, after you eat McDonald's or whatever, I'm not just ragging on McDonald's, whatever. I'm just saying, you know, your body really isn't satisfied. It feels full, but it's not satisfied. You can eat those things, those processed, those things. You know, I really don't eat super healthy. I know I'm making it look like I do. I don't. I mean, I love the peanut M&Ms, you know, and you just got to have some of those. But I have been eating healthier because I can't eat wheat anymore. Long story, I got celiac. I'm allergic to wheat. But anyway, but the thing is, it's amazing that as you just change a little thing here and there, you know, eating a little healthier, because I can't eat McDonald's anymore. That's how I thought about it first. Like, I can't eat McDonald's anymore. Like, seriously, I used to go to McDonald's for breakfast every morning, get a breakfast burrito. It was so good. But now I imagine if I did eat one of those, I'd be like, oh my goodness, what is this junk? Because just like sin, we step into those things and we start tasting the French fry or the breakfast burrito or the whatever. You step in little by little. And then all of a sudden, all these processed things or all this sin looks so good. But it's because we've gotten away from the real food. And our body is not satisfied with that sin. It's not satisfied with that processed stuff. It's only satisfied with God and who He is. He says, God, because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. And this part of the scripture, I want you to think about how, see, David, in this moment, he actually hasn't been able to see the love of God like we have. Where is it? Oh, 1 John 4:9, it says, in this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only Son into the world that we might live through Him. See, David didn't even see this, but he still saw the love of God. But how much more us who have been able to taste and see this thing that God did for us to save us. He sent His Son to die on the cross for us that we could be saved, so that His Spirit could reside in us whenever Jesus went back to be with Him. And this we see. Shouldn't our bodies, our souls, our spirit, shouldn't it be yearning for God so much more even than David here? We see it like, oh my gosh, this guy, look at how he just sought after God and yearned for Him and all this stuff. And like, yeah. But you who have been able to see God even in a better way after He sent His Son to die on the cross. How much should you be yearning for Him? Should your appetite for who He is be strengthened so much that it doesn't matter what season or what thing is going on in your life? What is your appetite for Him? Said, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fat. Now see, God's the only one that can satisfy. Everything else is empty calories. Everything else is something that might fill our belly, but it doesn't give us what we need. It might feel good for a moment, but it is fleeting. It is gone. He is the only one that satisfies. In 2 Timothy 3:1, or actually verse 3, it says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money." It says in the last day, but like, really, was it any different then than it is now? But still, I take this myself as, okay, this is my time. He's talking about us right now. "For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents." Where are my kids at? Disobedient. They'll be disobedient to parents. "Unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong." I mean, he's going on and on. "Haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God." See, the thing is what? What brings you pleasure usually is what you do. Let's just say, you know, sometimes I say, "I don't know if I can do that." And Tori's like, "You can do whatever you put your mind to. Whatever makes you happy. Whatever you put your mind to, you can do anything." And I'm like, "You're right." And I'm like, but I look at the things that I've done and I don't do, and I'm like, it's just because I think this one thing is going to make me happy or bring me pleasure, you know, and I build this or I do this or I whatever. And it's the same for all of us. But do we realize where that our true pleasure, our true satisfaction comes from? Because it's from God. Everything else is a fabrication. A falsity. It's a false sense of pleasure that we go after. But can we find everything that we need, the satisfaction, the pleasure in God and who He is, and not in what the world is presenting before us? Even in times of trouble. You know, C.S. Lewis, one of the quotes that I love, because, and I believe it's in the Problem of Pain, maybe. But he says, he's talking about suffering. Maybe, I'm not sure which one it was in. It's beside the point. But he said, this is a paraphrase, if Jesus, the Son of God, suffered, who do we think that we are? A created being. Not an uncreated God, but a created being, think that we are, that we should not suffer, that we should not go through something. Whenever God came down to us and suffered for us. You know, I think about that, and I think it's just like God coming to Job and, "Who do you think you are? Where were you when the world was formed? When I created it, put its boundaries on it, where were you? When I put out its lines, or whenever I boxed in the ocean, where were you when I created the trees or the stars and put them in their place? Where were you?" Because I don't remember seeing you. I don't remember you being there. We find our desire pointed at who God is, as opposed to what the world is presenting us. Those other things, there's a multitude of other things placed before us. But just like in this song, I love it. It's like 100 billion galaxies. The stars, when you created these things, there might be 100 billion things that are trying to lead us away from God or trying to attack us, but there's more than that. The things that God has created and God has given to us and that God has for us to sustain us. but is your taste for him? To eat the true meat of who he is? Or have you grown accustomed to the fast food? Amen? Why don't you stand with me?
Thanks for listening today. We pray this message encourages you. If you have any questions or you'd like to learn more about us as a church, you can always visit us online by going to lifechurchstl.com.